because of foreign wars we wage. More to do with the colors blue and red. Too many laws and too much government. Can you tell me where the Constitution went? The Bill of Rights is just hanging by a thread. So many people trying to cross the border. Politicians build a new world order. Too many minds are convinced they should be led. I've got to be free the way God made men. And I won't be ruled by the dancing. Right to self-defense. They say you're stable, but they don't make sense. Dangerous ones will not turn into guns. All the unions always ask for. All we buy is made out of foreign shorts. Come a day when there'll be real hell to pay. I've gotta be free.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast of Tap into the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing, you know, with all the usual caveats, of course. With you as always, I'm your ever so humble and mostly peaceful host, although my peace is being really challenged, not so much because of the world of the political as much as the issue with BTR. I've literally been trying to get started for nearly an hour, better than 45 minutes at this point, and just one little bounce around after another. I do want to give shout-outs to Chief, who tried to hop in here a few times and gave up, and shout-out to Annie Uvelis, the Radio Chickadee, host of Southern Sense Talk Radio, who's hanging out with me right now, and I will definitely have to get in touch with you in a little bit, Annie, and help you out with that. I've got less than 15 minutes before we do the reset for the hour, and I will still do that on the regular time frame to make it easy for the radio stations that rebroadcast the show, and I'll, of course, have to send a message ahead to everybody with that. Obviously, with the issues, Ron Edwards will not be joining us at this point. He hung around for a bit, and of course Cajun was trying to help me get on here as well, and it's just been an adventure. Now Annie is talking about wanting to know how I get Skype set up to try to test with Doug yesterday, and when he Skyped into my line, no sound broadcasted. We could hear each other, but nothing went out. Now that is weird. That is very weird. I don't know. It might have something to do with an update. Maybe you're not at the exact same version. It's weird how Skype will do that. Sometimes. Now, what I'm typically doing right now is I utilize Skype to direct call in, and then I add Cajun to the call so that he can record all the audio that's on this side, and he hears basically everything that comes through on the other side at BTR. And we can add additional callers when they know that ahead of time. I typically don't add very many. Like Ron, we do, a few other folks that they know ahead of time, so there's not a whole lot of talking over, although sometimes Ron forgets that maybe his mic isn't muted. It's just one thing that you have to be mindful, and you have to know that as soon as you're connecting that you're live. Outside of that, though, it's no real magic on my end. I'm not doing anything super techno savvy. A lot of just basic connection, and the utilization of the add caller feature. So, you know, I don't know how much of a help that is. The one thing that I do have to make sure we're doing, though, if you're trying to connect to BTR, you have to initiate the call. If you're utilizing Skype to do that, and you have to add him. We have tried in the past, and sometimes Cajun forgets because he wants to try and call and initiate the call and connect everybody. And that's actually fine if you're going directly out over the radio station, but it will not allow BTR to be connected in the same fashion. Whoever is initiating the call has to connect with BTR first and then add callers after in order for it to work. So that might be part of it too. See, New Orleans Wake Up has joined us with a few minutes left to go in this first hour. And I guess realistically, there's not much cause for me to dive headlong into a topic with fewer than 10 minutes for me to really get into it before the reset. I could not give anything, any particular justice at this point. We'll see if I can get some cooperation here, though, and maybe discuss a headline or two, just ever so briefly, a little quick hit here and there. I'm just glad that people can hear me on BTR because the last two broadcasts, they've had to call in. Now, for whatever reason, it records fine. The playback in the archives is great. It's shared properly. The audio is actually better via the call-in. But the last two broadcasts, no live audio has went out across the BTR platform. So it seems kind of odd. Hopefully they've got that fixed. The folks in the chat room right now seem to be able to hear the audio. Hopefully that will hold out. It is just it's just been really frustrating today because everything actually worked as well as I've had a Tuesday go yesterday, with the exception of the live audio on the BTR platform. Live audio was supposed to be going out for simulcasting on WCET earlier, and without being able to get connected, wasn't able to do that tonight. So unfortunately, the server had to roll and no live simulcast, but you know, it is what it is, and we make do. That's part of the dangers of doing this live rather than doing the true podcasting, recording and putting out that polished product and doing a few takes and retakes. And, you know, there's a lot to be said for that. Certainly a better sounding product. You don't have to worry too much about this kind of an issue. Really hard to get into anything. And I'm still having difficulty switching from page to page here because it's wanting to bring weird stuff up instead of doing what I told it to do. Jeez. Anyway, I'm just kind of treading water at this point to get to the next hour, and we'll do the next hour with all the gratitude and enthusiasm that I can muster, which right now it doesn't feel like I'm going to muster very much. Now, I am looking forward to next hour. I am scheduled to have a very special guest in the second hour, someone that is so beloved by the left that on his previous platform, when he published one of my articles, I wasn't able to share it on Facebook. They hate this man that much. They blocked all of his efforts, all of his work. If LaCourte shows up in his If it shows up in your link, they won't share it. It's just one of those crazy things. But definitely looking forward to having Mr. Ken LaCourte. Now, a lot of you may be familiar with his time at Fox News. He later on went out on his own, and now he has recently launched a brand new endeavor. It's called Media Action Network. So we'll be talking a little bit about that, and we will also revisit a little bit about the left's efforts to destroy Goya Foods, which seems extremely anti-left. Until you realize that cancel culture really doesn't care who you are. The second you deviate from their plans, you are a marked person. Very few people can escape being canceled. So we'll talk a little bit about the Goya thing, because we were originally scheduled to be on last week, and that was going to be the topic. We'll discuss that. We'll probably talk a little bit about the most recent hot headlines as well, make up for some of what we missed with Ron earlier today. But some things going on out there. Tom Ridge made some headlines when he made the statement that DHS is not the president's personal militia. I think most of us know that, including them. Nikki Haley made a headline or two as well as she blasted Pelosi's Trump virus remark. Nikki seemed to be a little out of the know as she said that it was a new low. Nancy Pelosi saying that COVID-19 is the Trump virus is nowhere near a new low. It seems repugnant on its face to a lot of folks, even some folks that lean just slightly to the left. But at the same time, it's nowhere near a new low. Also making the rounds headlines this hour, Walmart has decided that it's going to end the Black Friday tradition of being open on Thanksgiving, that it's going to remain closed on Thanksgiving Day. Now, this is something that I've actually been in favor of for a while. It's like, hey, you want to go back to the opening in the wee hours of the morning after Thanksgiving and still do your Black Friday thing that way? That's fine. I always thought it was just a little too much in the vein of greed, if you will, in regards to continuing to open earlier and earlier and then doing the segmented shopping hours to the point that you were literally opening up about as early as some of these folks were finishing their Thanksgiving dinner, which is part of why I think so many folks in this country have started doing Thanksgiving lunch. In some cases, even, you know what, we're going to do like a brunch so we can go do the shopping. No, don't reward them. Make them realize this is supposed to be a day that everybody can have. But, you know, nobody asks me, nobody talks to me, nobody listens to what I have to say. Well, except for you guys, and you guys don't always agree with me, and that's fine too. So I got about 3.5 minutes left in this hour, and I've been talking for less than 12 minutes this evening. Ordinarily, we'd be shutting the door on hour number two. It is utterly frustrating, but the show must go on. And like I said, I'm just glad to have audio. We will approach hour number two as if everything was right on the money and everything was perfect, because nothing is more irritating, I think, for folks, especially when the people tear into the podcast later and they hear this 13 minutes plus of me belly aching and whining. They're like, what is this? Stop. So anyway, let's do the reset. Not even going to bother with the usual sign out, close out for the hour, because I'm going to let all the radio stations know. Just jump in and we'll do the reset as we should. In the meanwhile, guys, for the two of you who are here live, stay right where you are, and we will see if we can't do a little bit better in this second hour. I'll be right back.
Free.
Hello and welcome to today's broadcast of Tap Into the Truth. Hope you're having a fantastic day wherever you are and whatever you may be doing, with all the usual caveats, of course. With you as always, I'm your ever so humble and mostly peaceful host, Tim Tap, coming to you live from historic Roane County, Tennessee. And man, oh man, I am still having issues as I was trying to add Cajun to the call so he could record at a much better audio level, and unfortunately it is not gonna let me do it. I don't know, time for me to just invest in a whole new level of technology. But glad to have you here, ladies and gentlemen, and we got shout outs to Annie Ubellis hanging out with us in the chat room, and Wake Up New Orleans is hanging out in the chat room, and we are scheduled to be joined at the bottom of the hour by Mr. Ken LaCourte, and I'm looking forward to having Ken on for only the second time. Only the second time. And, you know, Ken is one of these folks who has been kind enough to publish my work, carry some of my writing on his previous platform. He has launched a brand new platform. That's one of the things that we'll discuss when he joins us. But in the meanwhile, I'm going to try and, you know, do that soldier through thing. As long as the audio is actually working here, we will do something about it. And that's kind of where I'm at right now. I'm fumbling, bumbling, drumbling, tumbling, and all these other wonderful things. And I'm flummoxed. I'm at a loss. I don't know what else to do at this point, but jump in and be who I am. Now, New Orleans actually said that he finds it interesting how Republicans are attacking Liz Cheney. She's a conservative Republican. How interesting. Well, believe it or not, I'm kind of with you on this one, New Orleans. I think it's kind of silly, some of the attacks that have been made in Liz's direction, because she basically said Donald Trump said some not so bright things when it's come to the coronavirus. And I get why a lot of folks right now in an election year don't like the idea of not completely supporting the president. But at the same time, you do have to be aware that, you know, truth is truth. And Donald Trump has, on many occasions, been less than a precise communicator. You know, it's just that simple. Now, as far as supporting Dr. Fauci, I'm not on board with that anymore. I think Dr. Fauci burnt my final bridge to him when he was espousing how great New York had done with COVID-19, because the bottom line is New York did not do great with COVID-19. It's just they did not. So Dr. Fauci kind of he's kind of lost it. His what's a good way to put it? Any level of support that I still have, because I've been defensive of Dr. Fauci when a lot of folks have not been. You know, I've been somebody who has said, you know what, I think Dr. Fauci is somebody who is a medical professional. He is somebody who was working with the same information that a lot of us were. It was incomplete information. It wasn't great. And it was something that not a lot of people understood. It was brand new. Now, I still think it's been severely, and I do mean severely, blown out of proportion as far as the threat that it poses. It is extremely contagious, and there's no question about it. But there are still a ton of studies out there that say that masks are basically ineffective, which was something that Dr. Fauci himself said initially. He's turned around and he's since then said that, well, we could be done with this in 6 weeks if we all just wore – and he already knows better than that. He's flip-flopped on a ton of things. And I've still said, you know what, as new information comes in, you change what you say. You have to be flexible. You go with the best information you have. And as a trained physician, that's what he's been taught to do. But when you start holding up New York as an example of how to best deal with it, you have jumped the shark. You have lost your intellectual right to say anything. You've lost it. I mean, essentially. So I don't care if you're supporting Fauci or not at this point. One thing I would like to say, though, is we really need to get past this notion of mask shaming. We really do. A lot of conservatives are very anti-mask. We've been seeing videos of people fighting their way into some of these stores and businesses that are now demanding that you wear a mask if you're going to enter. And here is the ultimate deal. If you are a conservative, if you believe in the Constitution, if you believe in principle, I completely understand you wanting to make a statement, you wanting to stand on principle. I get it. The government should not be mandating we wear a mask. But Walmart, the Kroger, these companies, they're not the government. They are private businesses that are operating with the public. They invite you in, but they still get to set the rules. They get to set the rules for how you go in, why you go in, and ultimately, if they make this determination that they don't want you coming in without a mask, then you have to make the determination, how bad do you really want to do business with these people? They want you to wear a mask? Then wear a mask if you're going in. If you're determined not to wear a mask, then don't wear a mask, but don't go in. In this age of Amazon Prime, in this age of Walmart.com members being able to get same-day delivery, there's literally no reason at all why you should have to go in anyway. I mean, if you can, if you've got the funds, if you can go in and make your purchase, then you just have to decide you want to wear a mask or not. And the something that I've been saying, something that we haven't heard as much in a very long time, is my rights end where yours begin. And the same thing is true in the other direction. Your rights end where mine begin. Now, where I'm perfectly willing to take on the risk that's involved of not wearing a mask in multiple situations, if I'm perfectly willing to take on the risk, understanding that I'm not typically in one of those high-risk groups, so that I may want to go ahead and get COVID and hoping that I can be part of the herd immunity. If I'm willing to do that, then that's on me. And that's my choice to make, as it should be. But if somebody standing next to me isn't willing to take that same risk, I have no right to put them in a position where I'm forcing them to, any more than the federal government has a right to tell us we have to do it. Now, when we were simply being asked to do it, a lot of people were. In fact, a lot of people were way more open to the idea of social distancing and locking down and wearing masks in public when we were simply being told that that's the best practice, when we were simply being told that this is probably the smart thing to do. If we do this, we will be so much better off. And, you know, we're just asking you, please be smart. When people were talking to us like that, even the contrarians were like, well, okay, if that's a smart thing to do, we've seen it work in other places. We were on that. It was good stuff. But at the end of the day, when the government starts telling us we have to do stuff, well, that contrarian nature starts popping up in us. And I understand, but at this point, we're only making things worse for people who are afraid. Maybe we get mad that people are falling for the panic porn that the media is portraying. Maybe we get mad when people are spouting the stories that were being told about the college student who ended up in the hospital and died because they went to a COVID party because they didn't think it was real and made the statement shortly before dying, I think I made a mistake. And it turns out that it was completely BS. It was an attempt at a new parable because a doctor wanted to spread that story. And as it turns out, to make the proof even more realistic that it was completely made up, there were multiple versions of the story going around. It would be great if we could all just get on the same page. It would. It would be fantastic if we could all just get on the same page, if we could get honesty and expect honesty both from our media and from our elected office holders, and I'm going to just call them office holders because I just can't bring myself to call them leaders these days because you have so very few of them do any leading. I mean, I get why Donald Trump tried to be very optimistic in the early days, and he wanted to be optimistic about it, and he wanted to paint a great picture. But even that probably should have been tainted a little. You know, it should have been painted a little differently. You know, a little more realism. I think Donald Trump's little press, the press release now that we're back to having the COVID-19 updates, I think he struck a very good tone most recently. And I wish the tone had been like that from the beginning, because then there would be no fodder for the media to attack. Now, the fact that he's come around and started saying, hey, masks are great, that's not going to win him any points in the media. It's not going to win him any points from the leftists that hate him, who simply believe Orange Man is bad, because now all you're going to hear, and we're already hearing it, all you're going to hear is, well, why didn't you do that from the beginning? He didn't do it from the beginning because in the beginning, the information he had suggested a different set of circumstances. There is still very little evidence that we should be overly concerned. There's very little evidence that medical facilities anywhere are being overwhelmed. There's very little evidence that even the more at-risk groups are in any more danger now than they were at any other point in time. The mortality rates are still going down everywhere, even in the places that we've had the recent spikes. Now, the fact that we're still having people die, it's tragic, and I don't want by any means to suggest it's not. If you or someone you love is right now facing death because you were in a high-risk group and you caught this, then that's horrible. But at the end of the day, outside of those high-risk groups, outside of the high-risk groups, this is little more than another coronavirus. It's not particularly dangerous outside of the high-risk groups. The only thing that makes this more dangerous is that it is so much easier to spread. Now, what part exactly in New Orleans do you think is untrue? Because I'm afraid there is nothing I'm saying right now that cannot be backed up with a simple Google search. But you do have to slide past the media bias. You might have to read past the first paragraph or two and actually dig into the numbers a little bit. But it is absolutely true. And of course, you immediately jump to you're going to go buy a new suit so you can enjoy and wear that new suit at barely there Biden's inauguration. Well, you know, enjoy it. Enjoy it. By all means, you do you, New Orleans, and you have that new suit on the standby. And you know what? If somehow, some way, the American public ends up voting the way you think they're going to, and somehow, some way, the Electoral College lands on barely there Biden, then enjoy wearing that suit and throwing it in our faces like I know you're planning on doing. But again, those polls that are letting Joe Biden start moving further and further to the left because he's putting way too much faith in them, they're already starting to turn just a little bit because everybody is tired. My friend, everybody is tired of the lawlessness on the streets and the fact that it is Democratic mayors and Democratic governors that are whining and crying and going on about how suddenly law enforcement being utilized at the federal level in order to protect federal property and federal buildings and the lives of federal employees, how that's just a terrible thing. The average citizen in these cities are tired of the BS having happened. Oh, I'm sorry. These federal troops being there are making it worse. How? How is it making it worse? For months now, the mess has been going on the streets of Portland, of Seattle, of Chicago, for decades now, and New York. It's been going on for months at least 3 weeks, depending on which location you're talking about, for much longer in some of these cities. The violence, the destruction, it's been ongoing. It's been the job of those mayors to step up and protect the citizens of their city and to protect the buildings and the property in their cities. They refuse to do that. It was up to the governors in these states to intervene after a week or so to fix the issue. Some states even allow for the governors to remove the mayors from office for failing to do their jobs. They've not done it. And even now it's been extremely tempered. And there's been lies, misinformation from the media in regards to how these federal officers are enforcing federal law. There is legal grounds for it. These officers are not in unmarked camo just showing up. Oh, there's video footage. Yeah, how clear is that video footage? And by the way, even in the not-so-clear footage, you can still see legitimate markings. You can see the identity numbers because they've had to cover the names because there are people that have been trying to dox these officers, putting their families at risk. Average American, even those who fall slightly left of center, who typically make up the largest voting bloc for the Democratic Party, are sick of the BS, and they're seeing through the BS. And while a lot of them are still going to have a really hard time holding their nose and voting for the orange man who's bad, in their opinion, they're not going to find themselves voting for barely there Biden. You're going to propose to President Biden-elect that there needs to be a new cabinet position. It should be called the Anti-Conservative Department. Well, that, my friend, is the part where you get ignored for the remainder of the broadcast. But thanks for playing. We have some lovely parting gifts for you. To give you an idea of how badly things have gone, Mr. Robert Francis, wants to be called Beto O'Rourke, managed to make his way back on MSNBC. And on this past Tuesday, the former representative, former presidential candidate, who, according to Barely There Biden, is in charge of the destruction of the Second Amendment. Now, naturally, he didn't put it quite that way, but that's the goal. That's the intention. And no matter how many times they deny it, Beto, a.k.a. Robert Francis, the whitest don't-want-to-be-white boy on the planet, he's made it very clear, hell yeah, I'm coming for your guns. Well, good luck with that. Not the best place to be. Well, anyway, Robert Francis managed to get himself noticed as he decided to put a little hyperbolic vitriol out there. That is something he's gotten really good at recently. If he had been that toxic before, he might have still been in the race, even at this point. But he had to keep reinventing himself. I mean, that boy had more relaunches into his presidential campaign than Joe Biden's even ran campaigns. And by the way, not counting this one, Biden has quite the collection of previous presidential runs. So the man really went after the Texas GOP, called them a death cult, saying that they seemingly want African Americans and Latinos to die. I don't know exactly what it is he thinks is going on, but here's what he said. He said, quoting now, "That's right. You know, the United States has been hit hard by COVID. Texas, arguably harder than almost any other state right now, perhaps with the exception of Florida and Arizona, and then within Texas, the Rio Grande Valley, and particularly Hidalgo County, is just getting the stuffing knocked out of it. They're running out of beds and space in their hospitals and clinics," which is not true, by the way. "They're running out of nurses and doctors to take care of patients," also not true. "It's so bad that," excuse me, sorry about that. "It's so bad that some ambulances are waiting up to 10 hours in order to discharge the patients that they picked up because there is no bed there to receive them. There's no longer space in the morgues, in the funeral homes, so they're stacking the bodies in refrigerated trucks right there. Also, another lie propagated by the media that has been debunked by the hospital system itself when it said we were told there was going to be a huge spike, so rather than wait to the last second, we were preparing in the event it became necessary. You know, again, the federal government, Trump made a great point in his little press conference that I was talking about earlier when he said that there are no current unfulfilled requests from any governors across the country. They're stocked up. They're ready to give resources. He sent the Navy hospital ship. It was never needed, never utilized. There are full ERs in some parts of Texas, but it's because they're filled with people that are non-COVID patients. COVID-19 is not the result here. It's not behind that statistic. And at the end of the day, all of this is BS that has been debunked. But depending on your source of news, for example, if you're watching MSNBC and that's your only source, well, then Beto's just towing the party line there. Robert Francis then directed specifically at the Texas GOP and Governor Greg Abbott, saying, as you pointed out, our Governor Greg Abbott inexplicably will not only not issue a stay-at-home order for the state of Texas, he will not allow the country, he will not allow the county judge there, Richard Cortez, to issue one for Hidalgo County to save the lives of people that he was sworn to serve. That's because it doesn't save lives. There are four separate studies now that have been released in the last few days, four separate studies that debunk the idea that the lockdown orders did anything, which seems really odd. But they're looking very heavily at the fact that there are still the essential jobs. The essential folks were still out there moving around. A lot of them were catching the virus, not getting sick, but still spreading it around, or only getting a little sick. I got a sniffle. I got a cough, because they weren't in a high-risk group, because COVID is not particularly dangerous to people that aren't in the high-risk group, and they spread it around. And then, of course, you have the disastrous ideas of New York and New Jersey saying, hey, you know what? We know that the folks in the nursing homes are in a high-risk group, but we're going to make you take COVID patients anyway. And then we're going to turn around and blame it on the Trump administration's guidance, which actually said that, yes, nursing homes and nursing facilities can accept, not should, but can accept if it can be done safely, meaning that if you can keep them separated from the rest of the population. Were they able to do that? No. No, sir, they were not. But of course, our boy Cuomo isn't about to take the heat that he rightly deserves. He's going to deflect. And we go back to the old Democratic adage of saying, hey, you know what? Let's just get rid of anything that resembles common sense. Let's just get rid of the idea that we are occasionally in charge, and when we're in charge, we're the ones responsible for the mistakes we make. You know, I would love, for some point in time, that a politician, an elected official from either party, to come out and say, hey, you know what? I was doing the best I could with the information I had, but turns out it wasn't the best information. This is where I made a mistake. I'll stand by the decision based on the information I had available, but turns out I probably should have done something different. This is on me. Whatever happened to the buck stops here? Whatever happened to that? All right, one more thing before I do the Edward Snow book. Nolan says, Tim, you and other conservatives accused Obama of having death panels. But the truth is, we see death panels now under Trump in this pandemic. How so? How so? I mean, seriously, where is the death panel? The government actually recognizing your right as an individual and not getting in the way of your rights? That's a death panel? No. There are death panels under socialism. Any socialist ideology requires that quality of life concerns be addressed. Anytime you have socialized medicine at any level, somebody has to decide how much resources we have and who gets left out in the cold just because Papaw is a little too old. So we're not going to worry about getting him that hip replacement. We're not going to worry about having that triple bypass because even if he gets it and survives, chances are he's only got a few more years left, and we're much better off utilizing some other cog in the machine that's going to keep us going. So, yes, that there's a difference there, my friend, New Orleans. There's a big difference between a death panel and the idea of federalism being recognized. And that's really the big question. When is federalism going to be recognized for what it is? Donald Trump is the opposite. I repeat, the opposite of a fascist. He's proven it multiple times. In fact, the Democrats, specifically Nancy Pelosi and Chuck Schumer, complained early and often during the COVID crisis that he wasn't being tyrannical enough. And they even dared to use that verbiage. So, yeah, Barack Obama did push the idea. Not that he really did that much. I mean, we all know that he was mostly campaigning and vacationing, and Valerie Jarrett was doing most of the presidenting under that administration. But at any rate, let's do the Edwards Notebook, and let me reach out and call my guest for the bottom of this hour. You guys stay put. I'll be right back.
Abigail Disney, the grandniece of Disneyland and Disney World creator Walt Disney, along with Ben & Jerry's ice cream co-founder Jerry Greenfield, is calling for all governments, local, state, and federal, to raise taxes on the wealthy to fund the Corona China virus recovery. Hello, I'm Ron Edwards. On today's page from the Edwards Notebook, for those who buy into the class envy concept of going after the productive to give their wealth to the idle, don't believe the hype. The very wealthy will always find ways to move their wealth around to avoid overtaxation. But Ms. Disney is actually advocating raising taxes for everyone except those on assistance. But when taxes are raised, economic activities decrease, and as a result, fewer new businesses open and fewer new jobs are created. And over the long haul, tax revenues shrink. In all of human history, raising taxes has never brought about the cure of a virus. Just as high taxes do not improve government funding in the long run. Check out the truth, America. I'm Ron Edwards. Also, check out theronedwards.com for news updates and other great stuff.
Ron Edwards, the new voice of America.
Sponsored by the Tri-County Liberty Coalition.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, thank you so very much for staying with me through that very brief break. Of course, just doing the one Edwards notebook there. Be sure to check out Ron Edwards. You can check him out at theronedwards.com is the best, quickest way to find out everything. And right now, speaking of somebody else who is a man in the know, ladies and gentlemen, you may very well remember his time with Fox News. He is a man that is hated by the left because he's a truth teller. He is a warrior and a soldier for truth and has recently launched a brand new platform, Media Action Network. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the show, Mr. Ken LaCourte. Ken, thank you so much for joining us once again. I was commenting earlier in the hour how this is just your second time here, and we've got to remedy that because I really enjoy your work, and I especially like the fact that now you've launched the new platform. Before we get into any of the topics of the day, tell everybody a little bit about Media Action Network and how that has evolved into the new project you're working on.
Wow, with an intro like that, I feel like hanging up because it can only go downhill from here. So look, I spent my whole life in the media. I worked at Fox News as a kind of a muckety muck there for almost 20 years. I ran the .com for the last 10 years until they bounced me out in 2016. So I've always had kind of a love-hate relationship with media bias. On one hand, it made me turn up my nose. On the other hand, it's what bought me my house and my car and sent my kids to school, because we discovered it, at least at Fox News, if we targeted half of America, we could do pretty well. But I tell you, over the last handful of years, and this preceded Trump by a couple years, the media has gone from biased to just outright advocates for their side. I mean, it's literally as though the supposed umpires in the game, you know, we all expect politicians to shade the truth and to spin things themselves. And the media's job was to kind of be the referees to an extent. And you know, we knew that there was bias going on. We knew where their hearts and heads were. But I tell you, it is now to the point where it's dishonesty. It is telling lies by piecing usually true facts together in a way to make you hate a certain candidate or love another candidate or support or oppose causes. So at this point, what I've seen is as the media kind of goes to their corners, that conservatives have a problem, because the media is, you know, 85 to 90% on the liberal side and 10 to 15% on the conservative side. Yeah, there's Fox News and a couple little small cable channels. There's no newspapers. There's nothing else on TV. And then there's a few websites and talk radio. But as they've gotten more partisan, the problem that we have as conservatives in America is that imbalance is coming to smack us harder. And so we launched the Media Action Network really with the goal of three things: to expose the left-wing media who continues to pretend they're objective. I don't care about the guys who are honest about being lefties. Rachel Maddow is Rachel Maddow. That's great. Good for her. It's the NBC's, ABC's, Today Show that are pretending like they're objective and lost that. The second thing we do is we defend their victims. And that's both social media victims and victims of the press who, you know, every day they decide somebody's a racist or a homophobe or some other thing, and there are times that we come to their defense, whether that's Goya Foods, whether that's a girl who's getting the third degree at her college because she had the temerity of being a conservative. And then the last thing is we as conservatives need to build up the conservative media in America. And it means championing guys like you. And it means an online world where it gets really complicated. It means setting up ad servers that aren't going to abandon conservatives. It means all sorts of things. It means going to Parler as opposed to just going to Twitter. So that's our goal here. We're kind of if you're familiar with Media Matters, we're an oppositional force to them, but it's with those goals to balance the media in America, because it's very, very unbalanced in a crazy way right now.
Absolutely. So how does the new platform differ from La Courte News? Because I was a fan then, and I'm actually very proud to say that one of my op-ed pieces was featured on La Courte News back in April. And, you know, we were talking about Medicare being allowed to be utilized to help fight cancer. And one of the things that was really outrageous to me at that point is just because it was La Courte News, Facebook just said, no, we're not going to let you post this. It's like, but
yeah, no,
what
you
about
you can't even send a private message on Facebook to one of your friends with the .lacourtenews.com. They killed us. They killed us a handful of months ago. It was a 1-2 punch from the New York Times, just spinning in the crazy way that they spin stuff. And I tell you, you know, look, I'm 55 years old. I've experienced a lot. I've had bad things happen, but I still find myself flabbergasted at how bad some of the supposed mainstream media acts these days, and the way that they spin facts into something that is 180 degrees the opposite of what reality is. So look, this is very different. I mean, basically, look, I've decided that while we will use the Twitters and Facebooks of the world that they are going to ban most of us at a certain point. So what we did is we set up a daily email, and it's a media action alert. Again, it's the Media Action Network is what it comes from. And every day that email does a few things. One is it sets us on a campaign, and it allows people to say, you know, from their keyboard, how can they maybe affect this change? So the one that we had today is we announced, you know, you saw that Tucker Carlson is being hounded by the New York Times. The guy literally was forced out of his house in Washington, D.C. because the Antifa mobs kept coming after him. They came multiple times. His wife one time was in a closet calling 911 as they were banging on the door, broke the front door of his house. He moves to a little town in New England, and now the New York Times is saying, well, we're going to do a profile on how this little town thinks of you. And he knows exactly what that is, that it's an invitation for the mob. So I said, you know what? Screw you people. We're going to launch in a couple days, NewYorkTimesHomeAddresses.com. And if they play that game, I'm going to keep listing all of the home addresses of executives and their editors who are going after these people like this. It's gone from reporting to complete advocacy and activism. And we need to start treating these people like politicians instead of journalists, because that's what they become.
Yeah. They have had a really nasty habit, number one, of forgetting that journalism means you report facts and you let the people decide instead of trying to convince them what they're supposed to think. And they have forgotten that their job is to report the news, not be the news, not create the news. A lot of these folks, I think it is extremely generous to even still call them journalists. So you're absolutely right. I'm so happy to see the platform out there, and I'm glad that you're moving forward and utilizing other platforms like Parler, for example, which has had a huge influx recently, and I'm very happy to see that. We've been needing some alternative social media sites for a while, that's for certain. One of the most outrageous issues, though, that we've seen recently, and seeing how circular, if you want to call it logic, how circular the logic of the left really is, during this attack on Goya Foods. And that was initially when I reached out over a week ago to try to get you scheduled. Uh-huh. And then I had the issue that kept me from going on at all that night. I still want to kind of get your take on that, because clearly so many different moving parts, but it really reveals the fact that the left doesn't stand on a single principle. It's just a matter of whatever's convenient to them at the moment.
You know, there was a number of interesting things in that. I mean, so a Hispanic guy with a Hispanic oriented Latin Cuban type food goes to the White House, says nice things about the president, like he did during the Obama administration too. Announces that he's giving away 2 million pieces of food to food pantries throughout the country, and says some nice things about the president. Well, that can't stand, right? It's like the concept that a Hispanic man could not hate the president. It was an anathema to the left. So a couple of the high profile types, you know, AOC and some of the guy who ran for president for 15 minutes. You know, they tweeted out, oh, well, we're going to start to boycott this. Well, they didn't have to do what a conservative might have to do, build up an organization, get the word out, try to build up a boycott. All they had to do was mention that. And the press said, oh, goody, goody. And by the end of the day, there were articles from those two tweets. There were articles in CNN, Washington Post, New York Times about this boycott that's gathering steam. And it was like, so you saw just kind of the way that the legacy media just literally jumps onto a cause that they want to become a cause. I mean, it was two people who tweeted something and they turned it into a boycott. This one whipped around because enough conservatives said two things. They said, first of all, the guy didn't go out and do anything. You know, he wasn't like, I'm going to give all my company money to Donald Trump or say anything crazy. He literally supported the president of the United States. The second thing was there was just a terrible racism undertone on that. I mean, had he been a white dude who had an insurance company, nobody would have said boo. But because he was brown skinned and because he had a Latin oriented company, he was under attack, and they were trying to destroy this company or or basically keep everybody on the reservation. That's what this is all about. But in this instance, you know, so we helped getting out there, and we put a contest out. If you put your best Goya food picture, we told people to get out and get on the shelves. Another guy did a GoFundMe that last I checked, he was like 130,000, but that was a few days. That was probably a week ago, for people to buy Goya food and give it to a food bank. And this was one that conservatives were like, you know what, this is getting stupid. Let me buy some of this food. I'd never heard of it before personally, but I had some this weekend. And look, I don't know if it's going to solve our problems, but if we started as conservatives to say, you know what, we're going to fight this. Okay, you're going after Tucker Carlson's advertisers. Let's get a list of those advertisers, and I'll buy one of those stupid pillows for $50 or whatever they call. maybe they're wonderful. I have no idea. When we start punching back in the same arena that we're getting clobbered on, we're going to start to have some more successes as conservatives.
Absolutely. Ken, I hate to, but obviously, as is often the case with good conversations, 15 minutes goes by really fast.
Wow,
definitely
going
to have you back on again. Yeah, it did. It did. I mean, we barely scratched the surface, but there's so much to talk about it. So definitely going to have you back on again sometime soon, because I love the COVID-19 press briefings return, and we'll have to get into that. But clearly, you got a lot of other things you got to get to. So please let everybody know where they can find your work. Throw out those websites. And if you're still inviting people to follow you on social media, especially Parler, feel free to share that as well.
Well, look, right now, forget social media for me. If you want to punch back at the liberal media and you're tired of just whining about it, that's what we're all about. So it's www, obviously. It's mediaactionnetwork.com. We got our logo of a boxer just kind of punching the liberal media in the face. And every day we have a campaign that people can join in and be part of to be able to kind of claw this media back so that we don't have – I don't want to retire in a country – it still has 90% of the media being on the left. We don't have to accept that.
Absolutely. All right. Thank you so much for being with us tonight, Ken. And thank you for all the hard work. Keep it up, sir. And like I said, I hope we get to talk again soon.
Terrific. Thank you.
All right, sir. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Ken LaCourte. And, of course, if you are at BTR, there is a link in the show description that will take you to Media Action Network. There's also a link in the show description that will take you to Ron Edwards' page. And unfortunately, due to circumstances that were beyond my control but still frustrate me the same as if it were in my control, he wasn't able to join us today. But you rest assured, Ron will be back in the great conversation there with Ken. Obviously, a lot of things to talk about, and just the new website is so important. Media Action Network is another great platform, and that's what it is. It's a platform for like-minded folks to understand that media bias doesn't have to be settled for. You don't have to settle for CNN, the most trusted name in leftist propaganda. You certainly don't have to settle for MSNBC. You don't have to settle for Fox News. There are other conservative outlets out there that hold firm. You know, maybe you kind of like Breitbart, but maybe you're a little turned off by them. Maybe you're okay with Tucker Carlson, but you're over somebody like Sean Hannity. Yeah, you know, whatever the reason may be, maybe you're looking for something specific. I recommend you go find journalists that still believe in journalism. There are some of them still out there, by the way. Most of them are shunned by the more left-leaning news outlets. They're out there. They're trying their best, and, they do what they do. Good for them. You know, it really is just that simple. Very, very glad that Mr. LaCourte is and they're fighting the fight. But, yeah, the fact that the fine folks at Facebook decided that LaCourte News just wasn't allowed on their platform because he had a tendency to tell the truth about a few things that leftists typically don't want you telling the truth about. Well, it literally took my article that was about letting Medicare go to work at fighting against cancer. That's literally what my op-ed was about. But because it was published there, I couldn't share the link. I got it up on other social media. In fact, Twitter, who you would expect based on their reputation to be far more disapproving, let me share it. But not Facebook. And that was just really weird. Very weird. All right, we just got a few minutes left tonight, and so now I've got to figure out, do I want to go with Biden claims Trump is the first racist president to be elected, which is clearly wrong on two counts, or Rashida Tlaib describes herself as solid, strong advocate against white supremacist Trump, compares BDS movement to civil rights protests, which is also The BTS is a bunch of BS, quite honestly. We've also got Oakland mayor cast decisive police funding vote after her home is vandalized with radical demands. Which one? It's also par for the course. Let's go with barely there Biden, since New Orleans wake up is still hanging out in the chat room. This one's for you, New Orleans. So barely there Biden was speaking during a roundtable discussion with the Service Employees International Union at the SEIU this past Wednesday, actually today, the time of the live broadcast, actually. Presumptive Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden said that Trump has been instrumental in the spreading of racism, the way he deals with people based on the color of their skin, their national origin, where they're from. It's absolutely sickening. Let's break that down a little bit. What specifically are we talking about? Barely there Biden is the one who said that if you're having trouble deciding who you're going to vote for, me or Trump, you ain't black. Now, that wasn't Trump that said that. That was you, barely there, Biden. That was you. Their national origin. We looked at certain countries that have a high instance of radical Islamic terrorism and very poor vetting processes. And Donald Trump said, we're going to kind of slow down letting folks in from there to improve the vetting process. You know, that's another part of the story that everybody wants to forget. Even some conservative outlets, even Ben Shapiro, who I dearly love, no longer reminds his listening audience that the pause, the travel restriction, not a travel ban as it's over and over referred to, the travel restriction, which is what it really was there specifically in the executive order stated in order to garner better vetting policies. The intention wasn't to permanently not let in Muslims. The intention was to slow down the risk of Islamic radicals from coming to the country. That was the intention. The idea was to figure out a better way for us to know who is and who isn't coming into the country. That's kind of a big part of the job of the federal government, in case you've forgotten, or as a victim of the public school system, perhaps you were never taught that in the first place. But barely there, Biden says it's absolutely sickening that Donald Trump wants to do his job as president. I'm sorry, that's not what he actually said, but that's the insinuated part. That's the quiet part that I'm sure he will admit to once they have a debate, if they ever actually have a debate, by the way. I still fully expect that Biden and company is going to try every way imaginable to avoid debating. Anyway, barely there continued saying, quote, no sitting president has ever done this. What this is he specifically talking about? That really wasn't clear at the roundtable. And never done this. Just being racist Actually, there's a long line of presidents who've had racist tendencies. Strangely enough, a lot of them have had D's at the end of their name as opposed to R's. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. It was a different time, right? Just like Margaret Sanger's name has to come off Planned Parenthood now in the greater New York area because some of the Generation Z folks actually know how to do research and decided to do fact-checking on their own and realized, hey, it seems kind of wrong to tear down statues of Ulysses S. Grant and leave up a bust of Margaret Sanger. And I have to tell you that if your standards are going to be intellectually honest, and if you're going to hold everyone to the same standard, which you probably should, I may still disagree with your standard, but I will better respect you as an individual if you are intellectually honest about your standard. And a reasonable, intellectually honest standard is set, then yes, Margaret Sanger's name and statues and bust should have been torn down well before Robert E. Lee's. Robert E. Lee was not a racist. He was simply a guy who, at a time that federalism was still thought to be the rule of the day, he saw himself as a Virginian first, an American second. That's kind of the way the country was founded initially. He held true to that, and he went the way the state went. And he wasn't a fan of it either. He was very verbal, very vocal in his time about not supporting the ultimate goals, but he couldn't bear himself to raise arms against his fellow Virginians. Now, you can make whatever argument you want to for or against that. That's fine. Intellectually, you can have that debate. Was it the right decision at the time? Should he have made a stand for what he believed to be right? He kind of did, and he believed it was more right to defend his home state of Virginia than to stand opposed to it, even if he disagreed with the principles of the state. I'm not sure I would make that same choice, but that was the choice he was made. So very realistically, Margaret Sanger, who even in her own writings are very clear about her eugenicist beliefs and her desire to eliminate black people and then others of undesirable mental capacities. These are direct quotes from her. It's pretty clear Margaret Sanger has no place in a woke society. Therefore, the organization she founded for the express purpose of carrying out her eugenicist plans probably shouldn't either. But they're going to play the little game of, we're here to support and secure your right to murder the preborn, so we're just going to disassociate with the founder and hope that that's enough for you to not realize that we are still carrying out her vision even today. That is the hope. So former vice president, former U.S. senator, former cognitive individual, barely there, Joe Biden, is either ignorant or completely forgetful of history, which I'm actually going to go with this second one here because he seems to be forgetful of a lot. And come on, man, you know the thing. Very forgetful of his own history, let alone the history of others. I mean, how can you say that? Andrew Johnson, a Democrat from Tennessee, is considered one of the most violently racist, if not the worst, president ever to hold the office. According to Andrew Johnson, everyone would and must admit that the white race was superior to the black, and that while we ought to do our best to bring them up to our present level, that in doing so, we should at the same time raise our own intellectual status so that the relative position of the two races would be the same. Yeah, let's forget all about that. I mean, the worst part of Woodrow Wilson's campaign is his record as president was the overseeing of the resegregation of multiple agencies of the federal government that had been desegregated before. You know, I think there is a willful failure to acknowledge truth because the orange man is bad. And at the end of the day, you can say whatever you want to about Donald Trump because the orange man is bad. So barely there, Biden proves once again he is indeed just barely there. That's going to have to be it for tonight, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for being here. As always, I appreciate it. Remember, don't take my word for it. Definitely don't take the other guy's word for it. Be prepared to put in a little bit of effort, just a little bit. More importantly, be prepared to use your brain if you really want to tap into the truth. In the meanwhile, stay safe out there, stay healthy, and, you know, be smart, even if it kind of goes against your nature. I am out for now. Hopefully, I'll be back Friday. Good night, everybody.
Using both hands. Founders knew the Second Amendment was the final one to keep, to hold our other rights intact so we'd never become sheep. Stalin, Hitler, Mao Amin, and Pol Pot, they told us things that you never forgot. Is using both hands. Well, I prefer the 308 to the tiny 223. Gives me more than 1,000 yards to protect my family.
Using both hands.